Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. We do give you all a very warm welcome to Omega Ministry Fellowship. And this is not just for Omega Ministry Fellowship. This is for everyone who's welcome to tune in, to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. So we greet you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a name that is far above every other name. We want to thank our brother Matthew for his work on our recordings, and we appreciate everything our brother Matthew does. I'm not able to do it. I don't know much about the mechanical side of it, but I appreciate our brother Matthew and also our brother Kwame from the Fellowship in Dublin. May the Lord bless all these brothers and help out with these things that we can have it and watch it. We know it's live on here, and also you can watch it via our church app. You can go on there if you don't have Facebook and watch it also. The Lord bless you tonight. I did a short message. I came up and I've so many messages I've preached over the years. I've been preaching since the early 90s. I traveled with missionaries for 6 months in 1991. And I've been preaching really ever since that. So that's 30 years, I suppose. It's 30 years, coming on 30 years ago now. So I just appreciate the Lord. And the thing that I learn, and I pray the Lord will continue to help me to know, is that the gospel is simple. And sometimes as preachers, we want to have some big fancy sermon, or a big, what we think is a big message, but it can be an absolute flop. The gospel is simple. And the Bible warns us to keep with a simplicity. And I want to read tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17 down to verse 21. And I want to take for a title tonight, The Crossroad of Crossroads. The Crossroad of Crossroads. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For Christ sent not me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where there is the wise, where is the scribe, where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So we want to bow our heads tonight, and the cross road of crossroads is our subject this evening. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer, where we ask for the Lord's blessing and the Lord's help this evening. And if you have a need, bow wherever you are, and may the Lord grant you your request tonight. Father in heaven, we bow before you humbly, reverently, in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each and every one of us. Lord, we pray you will wash us and cleanse us afresh in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, I take the Holy Spirit to help me in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit will help. I pray the Holy Spirit will move over these airwaves, and that you will bless and touch those that need a touch tonight. Save the lost, heal the sick, restore the backslidden, and encourage your own people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. You know what? It has been said that there is a right way on a wrong way of doing anything, but that's not accurate. But a lot of people say it. You know, they say, what I mean by that is, many people say, there's a lot of ways to do something and they'll all work. Well, that's wrong. Truthfully, there is only one way of doing anything right. Only one way to do anything right. There's a thousand ways of doing everything wrong, but there's only one way of doing it right. And it's common practice for all of us during our life's journey to take the wrong crossroads. Many of us have took through our life's journey the wrong crossroads. And you know, in life we will come to many crossroads in our lifetime. But I, this evening, would endeavor to bring you straight away to the crossroad, the real crossroad. The gospel of the crossroad is what I want to bring you till tonight. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the gospel of the crossroad. The aim of the true gospel is not just to bring men and women to church, but to the cross. For to bring somebody to church is good, but to bring them to the cross, it's where we need to bring men and women till. The gospel is the gospel of the cross. Preachers, theologians, scholars are forever arguing over what is the gospel. But we know that this argument was actually finished even before any preacher was born or any theologian was born. The truth of what the gospel is was finished with. The Word of God defines the gospel, and finally and fully as thus. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 5. Let's read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 5. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen of Cephas and 12 of the disciples. First of all, we have historical facts. We're not just working with a story or a myth, but we have historical facts tonight. The gospel has to do with historical facts concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died. That's an historical fact. He was buried. That's an historical fact. He rose again. That's the best attested historical fact in the whole of human history, that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Acts chapter 2, verse 23 to 27 tells us this. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God have raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Jesus Christ appeared many times after its resurrection. That is an historical fact. We know he appeared to the 12. We know he appeared to the women at the tomb. We know he appeared again to the 12. He actually appeared to the 12 many times on other numbers. That's historical fact. He was seen by many. That's an historical fact. The cowardly disciples who ran away and left him actually became heroes. How? By seeing the risen Lord. They didn't become heroes because they joined an organization. They didn't become heroes because they joined a church. They didn't become heroes because They turned over a new leaf. But I'll tell you why they became heroes. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples received power to preach the true gospel. And that is an historical fact. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 24. You can read right through it. And it starts off like this. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. And it sat upon each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit give them utterance. That's an historical fact. The power of God came upon them because the Lord Jesus Christ told them that it would happen. And why did it happen and why did it take place? Down to verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and handmaidens shall see visions, praise God. And you know, right down it tells us in blood and fire and vapor of smoke. But it goes on to say this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this power come on them, and the theme and the focus of the message is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 24 of Acts 2. Whom God have raised up, having looked to pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden off it. Now, this is divine truth. Divine truth. The facts are related to truth. Truth that sets free and saves. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And not only shall the truth make you free, the truth can save you. Christ died. Why? For our sins. Not only for our sins, but for our ungodliness. He didn't just die for our sins, but Christ died for our ungodliness. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He had no sin. No sin. None of his own whatsoever. Jesus Christ had no sin. But he became sin. He took our place. He became us. The sin-bearing sacrifice. Jesus took our place and became the sin-bearing sacrifice to set us free. That's the true message of the cross. John shows us in John 1 verse 29... The next day John saith Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here is God's appointed taker away of sin. And this is the cross of crossroads. The cross is the place. That's the real crossroad. You need to stop at it. Jack Cole once preached a sermon about detours on the road to hell. And he went through a list of detours that men and women take on the road to hell. And he says, coming to the end of his message, he said, now this is the greatest obstacle on the detours on the road to hell. This is the greatest roadblock, if you like, or obstacle. This is the cross. And he's brought the cross in. And Jenko said, if you can get past the cross, there's no more hope for you. And it is the cross is the power of God unto them that believeth. God's appointed taker of sin. Why? He rose again. Why? Because he had fully, completely paid our debts on the cross. Salvation. He was seen. Why? Because it is by looking to him alone, by the eye of faith alone, that salvation is experienced. Turn your eyes. Turn away from everything. From church. From sacraments. From religion. From good works. From fancy prayers. and look only to Jesus Christ, who alone can save. Look to the cross, the crossroad. My friend, look to this crossroad this evening. We should always remember when the New Testament speaks of the cross, it always refers to the work of the cross, not the word of the cross. You can put up a cross in your church or in your home and it'll never save you. You can't be saved by looking at a wooden cross. You cannot be saved by erecting a wooden cross. You can't even be saved by wearing a cross round your neck. You can wear a solid gold cross. You can hold it up. You can kiss it. You can do whatever you want with it. It'll never save you. It is the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ that saves. Praise God. Today we must come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. I told you I wouldn't be long this evening, and I'm almost finished. But I want to tell you a little story that I heard a great preacher tell when I was only a young lad. And I never ever forgot this story. I heard him tell it on a tape. I never was physically in the man's meetings. And the man I'm referring to is William Mullen, a tremendous Baptist preacher from many years ago. And William Mullen told a tremendous story of a policeman and a young boy. And the policeman was a Christian, and they used to call the policeman Bobby. I guess the older folks would know that. What they used to call them Bobbies was the policeman. And he said he was on his parole duty, and it was coming into the evening. And there was a little boy, and he came up to the big policeman with tears in his eyes. And he said, "Mister, I'm lost." And he said, "The wee fella, you know, he wasn't the cleanest, he was lost. And he was crying, he's away from home." And the big policeman took him by the hand and began to walk with him and said, "Son, come with me and we'll try together and find your home." And the policeman walked with him down many streets and alleys. And eventually the young boy pulled in his arm and he said, "Mister, my home's over there." And the big policeman said to the wee boy, he said, "How do you know that your home is ever over there?" And he says, "Mister, do you see that cross on top of that building? My house is just behind the cross." And he pulled away from the policeman and he ran straight for the cross because he lived beside the cross. And the Spirit of God spoke to the big policeman, and the Spirit of God said to him, "If you can get them to the cross, I will do the rest. I will do the rest." And that big policeman cried and he wept there on the street that evening before God, "If you can get them to the cross, I will do the rest." And my friend, this evening I believe as a preacher of the gospel for over 30 years that we must bring people to the cross of Jesus Christ. It's not about a movement. It's not about an organization. It's not about some great preacher or some great evangelist or prophet or pope. But it's about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the man of Galilee, the man that set his face as a flint to go the whole way to Calvary. And he went to Calvary, and there he suffered and died alone for me and you. And he went down into the underworld. But thank God that God on the third day raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And Jesus is no longer on a cross. My friend, he's no longer in the tomb, but he is risen. And he's risen indeed. And he filled his disciples with a baptism of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And that same Jesus can save you tonight and fill you with the Holy Spirit this evening. I believe in 2021 that we need a vaccination of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that we as God's people need to be sealed with the Spirit of Almighty God. Jesus is coming again. And we need to be preaching the cross. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. I have brought you to the crossroad this evening. The crossroad of Calvary. You tonight, young man, young woman, older man or older woman, you have a choice to make with this cross this evening. It is not the word I'm pointing you to, but it is a man on the cross that I'm pointing you to tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call upon the name of the Lord tonight? Will you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Will you do that? I want to just read you a little poem this evening that was written as I close tonight. There lies beneath its shadow, but on Father's side, the darkness of an awful grave, the gaps both deep and wide. And there between us stands the cross, two arms outstretched to save, like a watchman set to guard the way from that eternal grave. Jesus Christ bridged the gulf at Calvary. There was a great gulf that you or me could not cross, but Jesus Christ bridged the gulf at the cross. And I have brought you this evening to the true crossroad, the true cross. What will you do with Jesus Christ tonight? Bow your heads where you are this evening. And be sincere. If you need to get saved tonight, the Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days, and we are definitely in those days, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're by yourself in your home, you're watching me this evening. Maybe you're a backslider and you're watching me this evening. Will you come afresh to the cross of Calvary, to the man Jesus Christ? I'm not bringing you to the movement. I want you to come to Jesus by faith. By faith this evening, will you come to Jesus Christ? Will you lay your spiritual faith hands, as it were, on the head of the man of Galilee, Jesus Christ? Will you confess your sins to him? Will you acknowledge before him tonight that you're a sinner and you're lost without Christ? And will you receive him? Will you say, Lord, come into my life. Come in today and come in to stay. Wash me in your precious blood and save me right now. Father, as we bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gospel, for the crossroad of the gospel. Father, this evening, bless all that would hear your word tonight. Lord, I pray you'll take these words and you'll speak to the lives of men and women, and that souls will be saved. Save the lost, restore the backslidden, heal the sick in the name of the Lord. Cast out every devil and every spirit of fear in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I pray for nurses or doctors, bless them and keep them. And Lord, I pray for those in authority in this land, give them wisdom, for they surely need it. In Jesus' precious name, bless your own people, Israel. And Lord, we know that the gathering again of Israel will be the catching away of the true Gentile bride. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and catch thy waiting bride away. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one this evening. Don't forget Wednesday night. We'll be having our Bible study Wednesday night. And tomorrow night, Monday night, I'll be speaking for Market Hill Christian Fellowship also. If you're free, tune in. Tune in Monday night. Tune in Wednesday night. And I appreciate your prayers. May the Lord bless you this evening. We're just going to have a little song before we go. Praise God. The Lord bless. Come to the Savior, Brother Gary. Sister Ruth Olson, God bless you. From sin, our hearts are pure and free, and we shall.